CBSi in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Greg Carlstrom of The Economist magazine, writing most recently about the protests, the weeks and weeks of protests by, especially in the news, if you watch the videos, young people taking off their headscarves, singing songs of defiance. Wonderful stuff, the kind of thing you associate with being young. And yet, Greg, there is no leader. Is that correct? This is completely decentralized, sort of word of mouth. Is that how it's run?
It is. You haven't seen any leadership figures emerge either within the country or outside, which, you know, I think is a natural phenomenon after decades of authoritarianism, decades of dictatorship. You look abroad and you have in the United States, you know, the son of the deposed Shah, who is trying to play some sort of nebulous role in encouraging these protests. But there are a lot of Iranians who don't want to go back to a hereditary monarchy that was overthrown decades ago. You have the MEK, which is a weird cult-like organization based in Albania that for some reason makes a lot of inroads with Western and particularly American politicians, but is loathed by the majority of Iranians, in part for its role in terror attacks in the country decades ago. So there's not really a foreign-based leadership. And then within Iran, we haven't seen sort of high-level defections from the regime, first of all. We haven't seen anyone have a road to Damascus moment and change their mind about the regime. And the protesters themselves, they are geographically diverse, they are ethnically diverse, they are religiously diverse, and no one has quite emerged as a leadership figure.
And they've all got mobile phones. Yes, they are a beehive. Now, I was struck by one name in your report more than any other, Ali Larijani, the former Speaker of the Parliament, who you report is saying, hey, the hijab, let it go. Don't brutalize young people because of the hijab. Now, is that unusual dissent? Is he by himself, or are there other practical men and women speaking in such a fashion?
He is in the minority in publicly saying such a thing. There are a lot of people in the regime, and the sense that you get talking to Iranians is that the supreme leader is one of them, who think that the mandatory hijab is a fundamental pillar of this regime, that if you remove it, if you allow women to dress how they wish, who knows where that will stop. All sorts of other unwanted ideas might come into the country, and if we give an inch, they may end up taking a mile. There are people within the political establishment who disagree with that. The mayor of Tehran, who is a more sort of moderate-minded figure, was on Iranian TV a few weeks ago, and he was asked about this, and he said, you know, if we're going to start arresting everyone who's wearing improper hijab, we're going to end up probably arresting every woman in the city, starting with the women who are sitting with me in this studio for this interview tonight. So we've heard from him, we've heard from a handful of other people that perhaps we should make a concession to the protesters on this as a way of trying to defuse the movement. But I think for the people at the very top, there still is a belief that any concessions, particularly now with protests happening in the streets, will just encourage more of it in the future.
And there's a suggestion that the usual authority figures in the IRGC and maybe even the Basij are reluctant, are stepping back. Or is that just their ineptness so that they're not brutalizing so routinely anymore? How do you measure their opinion of the people? Some of these people are their grandchildren.
Yes, it's a hard thing to try and measure their opinion. I mean, there is one school of thought that says exactly that these are their wives, their daughters, their grandchildren who are being affected by the mandatory veiling policy, who are protesting in the streets, and they don't want to go out and shoot these people in large numbers. There are also Iranians you talk to who will point out there has been a sort of ongoing power play behind the scenes for years between the clerical establishment on the one hand and the Revolutionary Guard on the other. And the Guard in recent years has seemed to be ascendant. They are accumulating a lot more economic power in Iran, particularly since America withdrew from the nuclear deal under Donald Trump, which was a boon to all sorts of illicit businesses linked to the IRGC. So it has helped them acquire economic power, political power as well, by pointing out that, you know, we can't trust America and we need to take a more hardline policy. And that's been their argument all along. And America's withdrawal from the deal gave them a political boost. And so there are all sorts of questions about, you know, what will happen when Khamenei dies, what will happen in the medium term? Could we see Iran shift away from being a clerical regime and towards a more sort of military nationalist regime dominated by the IRGC? And perhaps that is part of why they are sitting a bit on the sidelines right now, because they're taking a slightly longer view.
And in our final minute right now, There does not seem to be in your reporting any suggestion that the young people want help from the outside. They're handling this on their own. Is that correct? They're not calling for aid.
It is. There is a long and sordid history of foreign countries getting involved in Iranian politics, often to ill ends. And there are a lot of people in Iran who, of course, know that history and don't want foreign involvement. There's also not much that the world can do, honestly. The West in particular does not have a lot of influence in Iran. There are small measures it can take, like trying to help Iranians maintain access to the internet and circumvent official censorship and internet shutdowns. But aside from that, there is not much the outside world can do, and there is not much that Iranians want the world to do.
Greg Carlstrom for The Economist magazine. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.